Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:54, that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is August 4th. And the big news today, of course, is that the Bank of England has cut interest rates by a quarter of a basis point for the first time. This is their first move since 2009, so it is a rather momentous event. And that they have kick-started their quantitative easing program once more and plan to buy a minimum of £70 billion worth of bonds, £16 billion in gilts and £10 billion in corporate bonds, and they expect the corporate bond market to have a. They expect that if you read what they've said, at least they expect the corporate bonds to have a greater impact on liquidity because yields are higher, so they have further to fall. And when we look at the spread between gilts and bonds, then. There is no hiding the fact that gilts are among the highest yielding bonds in Europe, but one would have to question how long that is likely to remain the case when the Bank of England has engaged once more in quantitative easing. They have left the door wide open to increase their purchase program, so therefore this is another central bank that is now engaged in extraordinary monetary policy on a grand scale, and obviously that has a number of knock-on effects. One, of course, is that gilt yields went to a new low today. But even at that, they're still way above the negative yields that we have in the majority of the Eurozone. Then the pound was down today by over 2 cents to the dollar, and obviously was weaker against the euro as well. It's down to 131 against the dollar. And that 130 area, and it was very briefly below 130 at the end of June following the Brexit vote. So that 130 area is still an area of potential support, but it is quite clear that there is no one at the Bank of England wants to see a strong currency at the present moment. The UK faces too many uncertainties without having to deal with a strong currency as well. Then I've posted today an article by Charles Gove, and that appeared in John Malden's newsletter, and more than three subscribers forwarded to me, and it was a pleasure to read. It's a very good article, and I do commend it to subscribers, and not least because it paints the very clear picture that the Eurozone is at a much greater risk than the UK from the UK leaving, because it opens the door to an example of a country that has the potential to thrive outside of the EU. And that is against the background of what are very difficult circumstances for a number of southern European countries, and particularly Italy. And the Italian index today was up by about 0.2%, but it's coming from a very low level, and that has done nothing to dispel the problems that are outstanding, not just in the Italian banking sector, but in the Eurozone's banking sector overall, and not least because they're enormously intertwined. When the majority of companies and banks internationally were focusing on international expansion in the decade from the beginning of the euro, it was the majority of European banks really concentrated on expanding within Europe. And the result, of course, is that they're heavily invested, or they have massive liabilities outstanding in a large number of Eurozone countries. So they're all heavily exposed. And then against that background, the ECB is engaged in quantitative easing, but is also in a negative yield environment, so therefore they are being charged to access the liquidity they so desperately need. And of course the bad loans issue that they are pretty much all dealing with hasn't yet been addressed in a substantive manner, which means that it just represents a constant drag on profitability. Well, we know then that this is going to come to a conclusion, and one, of course, is that the ECB actually enforces its rules on Italy, but considering that that would be self-destructive, then the alternative is that they look the other way and allow Italy to bail out its banks, which of course would highlight in very clear terms that there really is one set of rules for large countries and another, quite another, for smaller countries. And this is likely to remain an issue, a topic of conversation for the foreseeable future, and not least because the UK's negotiation to leave the EU could take upwards of 2 years. And that is, of course, from the date at which they announce that they're going to exercise their right to leave. Well, against that background, the US treasuries were also stronger in here today, and stronger by a full point. So this rather dispels the potential for a continued reversion back towards the mean. And then when you do look at the spreads, and regardless of the fact that because the yields are so low that that a small swing in currency would really just alleviate any potential for profiting from the spread between bonds and treasuries, for example. But there is no getting around the fact that both gilts and treasuries yield substantially more than bonds or indeed JGBs. So then there is the potential for those to really come in a bit further. Stock markets today generally were in positive territory because stock markets are responding to the potential for additional liquidity. The Dow was down very slightly, I think 2 points, just less than 3 points, and the S&P 500 was pretty much unchanged on the day. And part of the reason for for Wall Street not really pushing on ahead here is because we do have this rotation going on, and certainly oil prices were stronger today by about a dollar, at least a dollar on Brent crude, and that has helped to reinvigorate some of those commodity related markets. It's also helped to ensure that the continuous commodity index is holding its progression of higher reaction lows. And then what we're also seeing is that there is definitely a pause in consolidation on Wall Street going on following an impressive breakout. The DAX in Germany is holding above the 10,000 level, but it does need to push on from that level to really break the progression of lower rally highs. The Japanese index was stronger today by about 1% and is also testing its progression of lower rally highs. And if we do take a step back and look at it, then the bull market that we've been presented with over the last few years is liquidity fueled, and it is looking increasingly likely that not only do we have plenty of liquidity, but that the liquidity situation is going to become even more abundant, and therefore that the valuation on equities can move higher, and not least because with negative yields on government bonds and with compressing yields on other government bonds, that the yield that is available on equities is rather attractive. And then this is a purely relative consideration. There is no longer any point in talking about an absolute consideration that one requires a given yield before investing, because that is largely unavailable in the market without taking on a great deal of risk indeed. What we are seeing, though, is that higher interest rate countries have begun to really attract investor interest, and Brazil is certainly up there with those because it's got an overnight deposit rate of over 14%. So yes, of course, the Brazilian economy has got some really profound issues that it needs to deal with. There's been a change of government, and then one would hope that they will grasp the opportunity to really instill a reform bias in whatever they decide to do. But of course, considering that so many of their politicians were embroiled in a corruption scandal, would it be the triumph of hope over experience to think that corruption is going to be alleviated from the political scene entirely? I think that would I don't think anyone's expecting that, but rather that commodity prices have bottomed. The real certainly looks like it has hit a medium-term low, and with the change of government, then there is the potential that we do get some at least some positive developments that will really start to reshape perceptions of that market, and certainly the higher interest rates that are on that are available right across Latin America are very much in their favor from an international perspective. So then there is the potential that we're going to see equity prices moving higher from here, because we're getting perhaps not synchronized economic expansion, but synchronized monetary expansion. And that's probably good enough. That you know, something that David has said many times is that monetary policy beats most other factors most of the time. And what we are seeing is just an incredible moves in terms of government bond yields in sympathy with the kind of money printing that is going on in the central banks. Well, against that background, gold prices today were pretty much unchanged, and palladium having got up, and it's now above $700, was down a bit in here today, and so was platinum, but not really in a dynamic fashion, and they do have these short-term overbought conditions, so there is the potential for some consolidation in here. In the soft commodities, the cocoa price, the coffee price, the sugar price were all a bit firmer in here today, and it's looking potentially possible that feeder cattle could break its progression of lower rally highs, and lean hogs, which has been accelerating lower over the last 7 weeks, is trading in backwardation, and there is increasingly dire news coming out from China about the havoc that has been reaped on on pig farms as a result of flooding over the last 6 weeks. So they're still counting the costs there, but more than a few people are starting to talk about, well, that it might be bad, but the fact that they're going to get higher prices later in the year because of all the damage might ease some of their pain, and prices are really quite low at present, so that is potentially an interesting thing to keep an eye on. And when we really do think about these things in just over the long term, then we can see that there are quite clear problems, and that there are quite clear contradictions evident in the market. So we know that this phenomenal bull market that has been in action now since 2009 and has been liquidity fueled, and Wall Street having broken out on the back of speculation that there will be additional liquidity fuel, will not persist forever, and when it does eventually end, then it is likely to do so with a bang. But that might not be for a few more years, and then if we are moving into a period of synchronized economic, monetary expansion, then the likelihood of us entering a third psychological perception stage of a bull market, which is characterized potentially by an acceleration, is, I think, looking more likely than not. This is not the time to be overly cautious, but rather to identify that the panic that we have in among investors that need a yield means that the valuation that they're going to have to pay for in order to capture any yield at all is likely to be progressively higher as this liquidity-fueled rally persists. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.